Welcome to 99. We're a church in San Francisco for the rebels and runaways. We're really glad you're here, and we hope you enjoy this teaching.
Do you know anyone who's super forgetful? Or are you yourself super forgetful? Like, for example, have you ever had a hangout plan for that week that you totally forgot about? And someone texts you like, yo, I can't wait to get together. And you're scrambling to mess up with your schedule. Or have you ever gotten an email that you forgot to pay a bill on time? Have you ever gone to Target to buy that one thing? You spend $85 and somehow you get back home and you realize I did not even buy the thing that I set out to go buy at Target. Right? I have this funny story my dad tells me about my mom when I was younger. Apparently, luckily I was not in the car, but she had a habit of forgetting her car keys in the car. And back then, if you locked your keys in the car, they were locked, right? So, thankfully, a lot of cars, they move past that. But there was an instance where she had the car keys in the car, in the ignition, and had somehow had the car in neutral and had locked herself out of the car. And the car started rolling down the hill. She was helpless to run after it and crashed into another car. But all of us, maybe you didn't do that, but all of us can have moments where we remember our forgetfulness, that we have been forgetful, that we forget something that's important. And you would think that in our day and age that our memories would be sharper than ever. Why? We have Google Cal. We have Claude. We have ChatGPT. We have alerts and reminders. We have access to the internet. We literally have an app for everything. My friend literally just released an app for gout, people with gout, that you could track if your gout's flaring up or not, right? We have an app for everything. We even have a nice woman named Alexa at our fingertips who will do anything and everything for us. And yet, we forget the things that we need to remember so often. And on the other end, we often remember the things that we wish we could forget, right? 650-692-2007, the landline phone number of my best friend Alex Opp from fifth grade. Why do I still know that? They don't even have that house or that phone number anymore. Somehow I still remember from German class. The only thing I remember from German class in high school, Vater unser im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe, wie im Himmel so auf in unser tägliches Brot. Is the Lord's Prayer in German? When am I ever going to use that, right? Why do I remember these random things that I wish I could forget? I remember all these random, irrelevant things, but I can't for the life of me remember people's names when I first meet them. A few weeks ago, there's a person that's in this room today. We're like talking, we're like chatting it up. He's like, oh, we should hang out. And I was like, give me your number in my phone. He put his number in my phone and his name popped up. And I realized we had this exact same interaction 1 year ago and I'd completely forgotten. I'm sorry, John. But why? Why do we remember some things we wish we could forget and forget the things that we wish we could remember? Right? We forget the things we need to remember and remember the things we wish we could forget. And I would argue that this is true in our spiritual lives as well. Right? Why is it that we always forget that we are complete in Christ, yet we always seem to remember all the things that we seem to be lacking? Why is it that we always forget that we are forgiven and redeemed, yet we always remember our gravest sins? Why is it that we always forget all the ways that God has moved in our lives throughout our history, yet we always seem to remember all the times that he didn't come through for us? The psalmist says in Psalm 103, 1 through 2, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and this is the key part, and forget not all his benefits. There's something about forgetting not all of God's benefits that leads us to a more fulfilling life. And so what if we could live in remembrance of who God is, of what God has done, and what God can do? What if we could live in remembrance of who we are instead of wavering back and forth between who we were and who we should be? How different would our lives look when everything around us is falling apart? How much more peace would we have remembering that God has already overcome the world? How much more confident would we be in our workplaces, in our relationships, remembering that we are crowned with love and compassion instead of battling our insecurities and wavering back and forth between who we are called to be? If we were to be honest with ourselves, most of us constantly fall into what we call spiritual amnesia. We have more access, more apps, more knowledge than ever before, yet we always seem to forget. We forget God and all his benefits. We forget who we are in Christ. We forget truth in the face of current circumstances. And I don't know about you, but I want to live with more confidence. I want to live with more joy. I want to live with more peace, more faith, more love. And I believe the key to doing that is what the psalmist is saying. Forget not all of God's benefits. In other words, living a life in remembrance of God. Now, we're in a collection on Scripture. We're talking about the beauty and the mystery and the messiness of Scripture and how God calls us to approach the Bible today. Now, one way that we can live in remembrance of God is by memorizing Scripture. Ooh, I sense the trauma triggers all throughout the room. Your traumatic memories of Awana coming up. All the times you had to memorize Bible verses at youth camp to get a meal. I don't know why we do that to each other. Fun fact, we actually did this collection in 2020, and we held a church-wide Bible memory contest. And I forget who won, but someone won a pair of AirPods. But it was really fun. Nonetheless, whatever your history is with memorizing Scripture, whatever feelings are evoked when I say memorizing Scripture, I believe there's something so powerful about this discipline that could help us remember all of God's benefits and not forget. Deuteronomy 11:18 says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." Do you know why we wear wedding bands, for those of you who are married? Why do we wear wedding rings? It's not just to tell people that we're unavailable, okay? I promise you. And honestly, they're symbols, really, of remembrance, right? They're symbols that remind us of the vows that we made at the altar of marriage, because there are times when we'll forget. We'll forget, and we feel like we're apart. We feel like we're separated, but we remember the truth that what God has joined together, no one could separate. Right, so these wedding bands, they serve as symbols of remembrance. And in the same way, God is calling us to have the words of Scripture in our hearts to remember all of his benefits. Chuck Swindoll, a theologian, once said, "I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your attitudes and outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced, and your faith will be solidified." But here's a golden question. In our day and age, with technology at our fingertips, why memorize Scripture? Right? When we have the Bible app at our fingertips, when we have Alexa and ChatGPT and Google that could find passages related to any topic, you know, sermon prep has become a lot easier for me these days, because back in the day, I had to actually flip through the Bible. Other times I had to Google, but now I got ChatGPT and I'll be like, "Find me 20 verses on hope," and it'll just pop it up, right? Why? Why memorize Scripture when we have ease of access through technology? We have to remember that in Jesus' day and age, they didn't have immediate access to the Scriptures that we do. And so what they would do is they would memorize the Scriptures. You know, even today, there are people in parts of the world like China where it's illegal to own a physical Bible. So they would have to memorize the Scripture. For the underground church, the Bible is so precious. I've heard stories of Christians passing around single pages of the Bible that were smuggled in because it was too dangerous to have the whole Bible together in one place. They would memorize it, pass it on to the next person, because if they were to get caught with it, they would get in big trouble. And because they didn't have a choice, that's how precious the Word of God is to them. About 10 years ago, there's that viral video of underground church in China. They were receiving physical Bibles for the first time. Some of them were holding them, weeping, right? It was so precious and good to them. And it makes me think, we've lost reverence for the Word of God, haven't we? Right? How powerful would it be if we hungered to get the Word of God in us the way that they do? And hear me, church, there's a big difference between having the Bible in front of you and having the Bible within you. Let's be real. Think about the last time you faced a crisis or you're in a difficult circumstances. Was your first instinct to open up Google or ChatGPT and say, "Find me a verse related to me losing my job," right? Well, the last time you were battling discouragement, was it your first instinct to look up, "Well, give me a Bible verse that will encourage me or give me hope"? Probably not, right? Just because you have access to the Bible doesn't mean that you've let the Bible have access to you, to your thoughts, to your feelings, to your perspectives, to allow the truth of Scripture to shape you from within. And so when we memorize Scripture, we allow God's truth to have access to every part of our being to transform us from the inside out. The great Dallas Willard once said, "Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose between all the disciplines of the spiritual life, including prayer, including meditation, I would choose Bible memorization because it is a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth." That's where you need it. How does it get in your mouth? I'll tell you, you can't get out of you what you haven't put within first. Think about the story of Jesus in the wilderness that we talked about last week. Jesus didn't need the scriptures in front of him because he already had it inside of him. And it was the key to overcoming the devil, the key to overcoming the enemy, the key to standing in truth. This is why Jesus says in John 15:4-7, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in me, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." And so how do we abide in Christ? It's very simple. We let his words abide in us. We let his words live in us. This is why Paul says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Now imagine that you're a house. Now imagine that in you as a house, every part of you is like a room, right? Your thoughts is our room. Your feelings is a different room. Your worldview is another room. Your politics, your morals, even your body itself is a separate room. Abiding in Christ looks like filling the rooms of our house with the words of God. Abiding in Christ is letting Scripture be your new tenant, letting the words of God be your new housemates or your roommates, and occupying the different spaces of your house with the words and the truth of God. And here's why this matters. When God's words abide in us, it says here in Scripture that they begin to bear fruit. Now, what is this fruit that Scripture is talking about? Galatians 5:22-23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." In other words, when God's words abide in us, we begin to bear love. We begin to bear joy. We begin to bear kindness. We begin to bear peace. And we wonder why we have such little joy and peace and patience in our lives. Maybe it's because we haven't allowed the words of God to dwell within us. What seed you plant will determine what fruit you bear. If I plant an apple seed in my backyard that I don't have here in San Francisco, plus the cold weather probably wouldn't grow anyway, a mango tree is not going to grow from that apple seed, right? Some of us are expecting to bear the fruits of the Spirit when we've never even planted the words of Scripture deep within our souls. We've never planted God's words in our hearts. When we memorize Scripture, what we're doing is we're planting the seeds of Scripture that will one day bear the fruits of the Spirit. And so I don't know about you, but we don't need more people in the world that know a lot about the Bible. We need people that bear the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the reason why people don't like Christians is because we're generally not very patient, tolerant, loving, kind, peaceful, right? Joyful, right? We need believers in the world that bear the fruit of the Spirit more than know things about the Bible. But the only way to do that is that we have to get the Word of God in us. We have to let the seeds take root in order for those fruit to be born. But here's the thing about seeds. You might not immediately see the fruit right away. You know, I'm really bad at gardening because I'm not patient. And so, I don't know, back when I was a little kid, you know you do those science projects where you like plant a seed? I would be the type of kid, like after I planted it, I would just sit there. And like, just watch and wait. And I'm expecting for some reason, like a leaf to just sprout up, but I'd just be there for hours and not seeing it. Like, I'm too impatient. But when you plant a seed, you kind of have to wait. The seed or the plant doesn't sprout up immediately. Have you ever read the Bible and thought, like, what am I even doing? Like, why am I wasting my time? Am I getting anything out of this? Is this a waste of my time, my energy, my life? And maybe you got nothing out of it then, but what you did do is you got it in you. And that's significant and that's important. You planted the seeds that may one day bear the fruit that you need in the moment that you need it the most. And so when we memorize scripture, maybe we're not feeling something immediately. Maybe we're not like, ooh, this is good, changing my life. I'm going to be more loving, more kind, whatever it might be. When we memorize scripture, we might not feel anything at all. But what we're doing is we're burying the seed of truth within us. We're cultivating those seeds that we've planted. And you never know what fruit will come from the seed you planted years ago. You know, I grew up memorizing Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Especially that part about, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I knew that Bible verse, that whole passage, those six passages, like the back of my hand growing up. But it wasn't until this last year where Psalm 23 really started to bear fruit in my life. You know, I told you I was going through a crisis of faith. I was going through a really difficult season, battling depression. And in that season, for some reason, the only thing that would pop up is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Even here in this place of darkness and uncertainty and pain, he's guiding me. He's still my shepherd. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I had not known as a kid memorizing Psalm 23 so many times that 20, 30 years later, it would begin to bear fruit and get me through a season. You never know the seeds that you're planting right now by reading scripture, getting the words of God in you. You never know when it's going to bear fruit when you need it the most. And I think the fruit of memorizing scripture really comes out, really shows in the difficult seasons, right? The trials of life have a way of bringing out what's buried deep within us. Anyone can play a part in front of others. Anyone can play a part when it's easy. But when life gets hard, you truly see what someone's made of. Now, my king, the one and only great T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman, in 2020, he passed away, if you know, after a four-year-long battle with colon cancer. But looking at his life, especially those 4 years that he was battling colon cancer, you would have never known that he was fighting for his life quite literally those 4 years. In addition to portraying prominent black heroes like Jackie Robinson, James Brown, Thurgood Marshall, King T'Challa, he also visited terminally ill children in hospitals. He did a lot of philanthropic work during a time where he had every right to focus on himself, his own health, his own well-being. He continued being a hero on and off screen. We saw who Chadwick really was, not when everything was going well in his life, but in the hardship, in the trial, in the cancer. You want to know what you really got inside of you? Go through a difficult season. Go through a difficult circumstance. You'll see what's buried deep within you. The trials of life have a way of bringing out what's buried deep within us. And the question is, what will come out? Will it be hopelessness? Will it be bitterness? Will it be disillusionment? Will it be discouragement? Or will it be hope? Will it be love? Will it be peace? Will it be joy? When we fill our minds with God's words, we leave no room for the devil's lies. It's a famous saying. And so the question is, what have you been storing up? This is why memorizing scripture is such a beautiful practice, because it allows us to store up the words of God and the truth of God. Now, here's the million-dollar question. We're going to get really practical. I told you we're moving in our collection from more of a theoretical, theology-heavy thing to a more practical way of embodying this faith. So the question is, how do we memorize scripture? Scientists estimate that we remember only one out of 100 pieces of information that we receive, right? And so when we're on social media, probably hundreds of things will pass by, but there's one thing that you might actually remember. Why? Because if we remembered everything, we would literally be crippled and paralyzed by over-information overload, right? So a good memory has to be selective. A healthy memory has to be selective. In the words of Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message translation of the Bible, we should not be interested in knowing more, but in becoming more. And there's a big distinction. So we have to choose wisely which verses we want to commit to memory that are actually shaping not just the knowledge that we own, but who we're actually becoming. Is the thing that I'm reading about actually shaping who I want to become? Is the thing that I'm watching actually shaping who I want to become? Is the thing that I'm listening to actually shaping who I want to become? Right? So, for example, I don't know how helpful it would be if you went into the Bible and you started memorizing all these Old Testament laws that are no longer relevant to us today. Or if you started memorizing genealogies, like, why would you do that? Okay, there's nothing of benefit. Maybe there is to you, I don't know, but not to me. And memorize those verses that help you become more and more like Jesus in the particular context and specific season of your life. And so there's three ways that we're going to do that. The first is this: meditate. Meditation, if we could liken it to an illustration, is like chewing on the text. Imagine you're biting into a big, juicy piece of steak, right? When you have a good steak, you probably shouldn't just scarf it down immediately. Number one is a choking hazard. But number two, you actually dishonor the steak, right? You take your time with it. You chew slowly. And each bite as you chew, the flavors are bursting in your mouth. You're drawing out all of the different flavor notes with each chew. Meditation's a lot like that. When we meditate on scripture, we're not just scarfing it down as quickly as we can. We're chewing on the text. We're drawing flavor from the text. We're creating space to enjoy his word, to draw life and meaning from it. Last week, we taught you the spiritual practice of Lectio Divina. It's a way of meditating on scripture slowly and intentionally rather than just rushing through as much as you can read. I was a part of a discipleship group in my 20s where all we literally did was memorize Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 39. Like literally 39 verses. We were just spending the whole season memorizing that passage. And I'm not going to lie, 10 years later, I do not remember 99% of Romans 8, 1 through 39. But the parts I do remember are the parts that I learned to draw deep meaning from. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, right? And we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. These things that I've learned to draw deep meaning from are the things that I actually remember. These truths have impacted me, have shaped me in the person that I have become. Ed Cook, who I think was really involved with Pixar, and they're one of the leading voices in storytelling, he once said, "What our memories reveal is that our nervous system is tuned to anything that excites emotion, that's personally interesting, that's colorful, unusual, and above all, anything that's personal." Can I do a hot take? Do you know the reason why you love secular music more than Christian music? Because Christian music's lame. Honestly, a lot of it like is not memorable because it's just repeated things that you're hearing again and again. I'm sorry, not all Christian music's lame. I'm sounding like a hater. What I'm saying is the reason why you love the music that you do is because it's interesting. There's a story that you find yourself resonating to rather than just a random reciting of truths that you already know, right? There's something unusual, something peculiar, something that draws you in, that draws your heart to it. Meditate on verses that shape who you want to become rather than just what you want to know. So that first piece, meditate. I'm sorry, Lord, for blasting Christian music. I love Christian music. Number two, memorize. Ed Cook, he was not Pixar guy. He's the grandmaster of memory. Ed Cook, who we just quoted, he would do these competitions where he would see how many ones and zeros that you could memorize in order. And so they would just put a bunch of random ones and zeros together, and they were trying to see how many that you can memorize. Can you guess how many that he memorized in order? 2,500 ones and zeros he memorized in order. And the point he was trying to make is that memory is like a muscle that can actually be worked out. And so if you're working on your memory, you can actually increase your capacity to memorize more. But when you're not working on it, you know, like my body, then it becomes the way that it is, okay? And so there's three things that he does recommend in one of his books, ways that you could that could help us remember in different contexts. The first is setting music to remember. Do you know how much of our memory space is occupied by random song lyrics? All right, repeat. I want you to finish the line. My loneliness... Why do we know that? Yo, I tell you what I want. Am I dating myself? I'm just a poor boy. Oh, no one knows that one. Okay. Come be the man. All right. See? I grew up in a Christian school, and we did many memory verses. There's only one that I memorized, and I hate that I memorized it because it comes in the form of a song. And it's this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32, ba-da-da, right? They taught that to us in elementary school, and I was like, this is so lame. I still memorize it 30 years later. I can't get it out of my mind. There's something about setting the truths of worship, the truths of scripture to music, that actually helps us remember. And this is why, I know I just blasted Christian music a moment ago, this is why I actually encourage you to listen to more worship songs, especially worship songs that have real, like, word-to-word elements of scripture laced in it, because it actually helps us remember the truth of God in our lives, right? And so you could set it to music, set music to remember. The second is writing to remember. There's actually a strong correlation between memory and handwritten notes. And so if you're writing something, you're far more likely to remember it. This is why I think school is hard, right? When you're typing things, there's something about writing it that actually helps you retain it. So spend time journaling, especially in the passages that you have been impacted by, the passages that have touched you. Try writing them out again and again. That's one way to memorize it. The third is reciting to remember. That discipleship group I was telling you about, we would spend the first hour of every gathering literally just reciting the Bible verses, repeating it again and again and again. Sounds boring, it was, but there are parts that I still remember to this day, reciting to remember. And so spend time trying to memorize these things. Spend time memorizing through these tactics. And the third is repeat. Repeat it in the shower, repeat it on your commute, repeat it in your bed at night, repeat it on your run. And so meditate, memorize, and repeat. This is one way that we can help get the words of God within us. Now, to help us memorize, we're going to get really practical. We've actually compiled a list of helpful verses to get you started. And so this is the challenge this week. At 99.church/memory, it's funny, I literally made this website 5 years ago, and I did not touch it, but I just typed it in. I thought I remembered. I was like, yeah, we already made this, okay? So 99.church/memory, find a verse this week. And just try to memorize it. Maybe set it to music. Maybe recite it again and again. Maybe write it down. But choose one that specifically resonates with you in this season. And I want you to try to memorize it. See if there's any noticeable difference in the way that you're interacting with the scripture as you memorize it versus just reading it. And so there's a lot of passages in there. There's shorter ones. There's longer ones. But my challenge to you this week is to choose one and just to practice memorizing it, something that really resonates deep within you, something that makes a difference in your life. And so I'll end with this. What if we could be a people who literally have the word of God hidden in our hearts? That we're a people who bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, not because we're striving or trying to be more loving, trying to be more joyful, trying to be more peaceful, but because we quite literally have the seeds of the Word of God planted within us that begin to bear those fruits. That when the trials and the storms of life come our way, we have God's truths and promises already loaded within us, so that we don't have to ChatGPT it or Google it, but we quite literally have it within us, and it begins to come out and be relevant and needed for us in the season that we're in. That's my challenge to you this week, is to begin trying to memorize scripture and see what kind of difference or impact it makes in your life.
Thank you for listening. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope this teaching encourages you. To learn more about 99, visit our website at 99.church. Until next time, grace and peace.